Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. Episode 211 of the IT Babble podcast. We're happy you're joining us, and as always, I'm here with Tony. And Tony, it is spring break for me. I'm on spring break.
Whoa. Are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to take the kids down to Daytona Beach, and we're going to do some body shots. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
Are you playing Oregon Trail for free on DOSBox?
Oh, no, I haven't. Ever since I unlocked the the secret of the game, which was ammunition, I've not played it.
I played it for like 20 minutes, and I was like, yeah, Patrick's right. I just bought a bunch of ammunition, and I'm like, you can just stop and hunt whenever you want.
Yeah, yeah. Food is irrelevant because it's always there.
Yeah, you just gotta, and you can, if you have a lot of ammunition, you don't really have to be a great shot.
Yep, yep. And that way you can also take your time on the trail. So if people get sick, you can stop and let them heal and rest, and everybody's well fed, and so they're more resistant to disease and stuff like that. So it's good. It's
Yeah, so you were right, people. Patrick. You just buy bullets.
You just buy bullets. That's the solution. Oh man, we have got a good show. We're going to talk about Chromebooks. We're going to talk about Borat, but not the Borat you might be thinking about. And Tony is going to give us a harrowing tale about insurance. But first,
insurance.
Tony, you've got a topic right at the top there.
Yeah, because I have decided that for every podcast I do with you, I'm going to bring up questions about things that I see, and I could research them, but I'm just going to ask you.
Oh, no. Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah.
So I noticed when I was, I went out last week or the week before, and I was like at a sports bar, and I noticed there were all of these like documentary style movies about the guy that coaches at Duke, Coach K.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, maybe they're just running all these because Duke's probably going to get into the Final Four or something. But then I realized today, after looking at more headlines and not actually reading in any information, that he's retiring.
Yes.
Apparently he's like 75.
Yeah, he's been coaching at Duke.
I didn't even know he's that old. He doesn't even look that old.
He doesn't. He's been at Duke for I almost want to say 40 years, if you can believe that. He coached at Army with Bobby Knight. He was Bobby Knight's assistant coach. And then he got the Duke job.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
My question, and this is I put this in, like, so people will be like, why are you guys talking about sports on your IT podcast? I was thinking about something. If I really wanted to develop artificial intelligence at this stage, do we not have enough data on this guy through all the various NCAA video games that have been made since I was like in high school?
Oh,
like the first ones came out like in 90. I want to say like the real ones. The real ones came out, I want to say, in like 94, 95. So every year, though, they release it. So they go in and they collect data, right? And then there's, you know, as well as I do, Patrick, there are two modes in all these games. One you play and one you coach.
You coach. Yeah, you can coach. Manage the players.
So for the coaching modes, they're trying to build algorithms that represent what the team does, which would then basically, in this case, be about this Coach K guy, would be his brain, should be in all these games, like from a very basic version to a more advanced version. Now, don't you think Duke should just let AI coach them for a full year to see if they can replicate Coach K? And wouldn't that actually evolve AI more than anything?
There are a lot of really smart people at Duke University. You know, it's not DeVry. You can't just pay money and get in.
No, it's very difficult to get into.
Yep.
It's even amazing that they have the level of athletics that they do.
Yes, yes.
You know, because they have Ivy League caliber
students.
I think, yeah. You know, I'm just going to take a shot right now based off of experiences I've had over the last 7 years. Ivy League, except for Harvard, they seem to have sold out in a bad way. I'm not going to go into it, but I'm just like, I don't know. It's not, I don't know why it's still on the list. I'm sure there's still some good stuff going on, but I've seen a lot of bad stuff. But no, in terms of like the research and stuff that happens at Duke, they have it. They've got everything they need. So,
yep.
You know, they've done licensing with the video games.
Oh, yeah.
Like with the companies. So now it's time to say, okay, let's simulate Coach K for a year and just see what our results are. Because they're going to have a bad year anyway, right? Like, come on.
Oh, yeah. So Coach K has had health issues, mainly with his back off and on for the past 20 years. There was one year it was so bad where he only coached like two or three games and then was out for the rest of the season. They only won two games that year. Only won two games. The next year, I think they only lost six games. So
he's amazing.
He's amazing, yeah. And whenever he's not there, it falls apart quickly. So I think Duke is going to, they maybe not next year, but the year after, I think they're really going to have a really down year. I think it's going to, I could be completely wrong here, but just whenever Coach K is out, the team does not perform.
So there's just, though, in my opinion, you've got a 1 or 2 year gap where you can be not great and people will forgive you.
Yeah.
So this is the time, Duke. Get all that data, launch a Coach K AI, let it make all the calls. And they've got a lot of money, right? So they can get those cameras that analyze like the players as they're shooting.
Oh, I'm sure.
Game. They can use facial recognition to only get their players. The AI can watch them in real time and start making adjustments. And even when they come over like to the sidelines, be like, the AI can be like, hey, number 22, you need to like extend more with your right side and you'll hit your three pointers more frequently.
Well,
they need to do something like that, Patrick.
I think it was Alabama. They had jerseys where they had sensors, you know, so you have like, they're like tank top jerseys, right? Of course. But on the back, there was like a pouch, and sewn into the pouch was a sensor, and it was monitoring body temperature, movement, speed. It was just throughout there. So the coaches could actually just see their team's movement throughout the, you know, after the game, like they could analyze it and break it down. I don't know if that really helped them or not, or I don't know if they were doing it all season or if they just did it for the NCAA tournament. But yeah, it was kind of interesting. And like these little pouches sewn into the back of their jersey, you wouldn't notice it unless you were looking for it. But yeah, so AI, it may be closer to you than you think, Tony. It may be, we might see a Coach K or Dr. Krzyzewski, because he does have his PhD. I don't know in what, though. Let me see here.
The name of the AI system could just be Dr. K.
It could
that
be.
Works. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's time. So Duke, listen up. Launch this, get this going. Let it call all the shots.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just have an iPad. With the assistant coaches with iPads, and they're getting their marching orders from Watson, IBM computer. Probably not Watson, because Watson seems to be terrible, but something else, something else. Oh, anyway, Tony, we're to my favorite part of the show.
What am I drinking?
What am I drinking?
And I'm going to open your link now.
Yeah, so I'm. This is Elysian Space Dust, and Elysian is a brewery out of Seattle. And this Space Dust is pretty strong. It's 8%. But the store that I buy my beer from had it on sale, down from, it's normally $12 a six pack, down to $7. So whoa. I was like, I will have that. Thank you. So, I mean, and it is very tasty. It is very smooth, and you got to be careful with it, because at 8%, it's a pretty boozy beer, but I don't think it's super boozy. However, this thing will give me a splitting headache in the morning if I'm not careful. If I have like,
but you're on spring break.
But I'm on spring break, so what? It doesn't matter. It's A-okay.
I think I've seen this in my store. Mm-hmm. I might try one.
It has a really striking label. Yeah,
I can see.
Very memorable.
I'm on it.
Yeah,
I'm on it. In store, on tap.
It's good. And it's everywhere in Indianapolis. I don't know how they got out here so quickly, but boy, they did. And it's everywhere. You can find it all over the place.
So. Where apparently this place down the street from me, which I've never gone into, it's probably safe, but it's kind of like between a police station and a gas station. So I just haven't gone in.
Yeah,
it's called LD's Beer Run. They have it. So maybe I'll go in there.
Yeah.
Get one. See what it is.
Give it a try. And what are you drinking tonight, Tony?
Well, earlier in the day, I had a Ghost River blonde. So I am not drinking any alcohol during the podcast. I am just drinking some tea. That's right. Just drinking some tea.
Nothing wrong with that. Tea is good. Tea is yummy. It's awesome.
Yep. So I'm just drinking tea. Is everybody
it like iced tea? Go ahead and make fun of me. Hot tea or
no? It's weaker than that. It's like peppermint tea.
Hey.
It's like what you drink when you're recovering after being in the hospital. You know, it's that weak.
Yeah, yeah.
So
some flavored water,
but it's okay. Yeah, had the beer earlier. Was working outside.
Nice. Yeah.
Made the call.
Good call. I think it's a good call. There's no wrong call here. It's a good call. Good call.
Just drink something.
Tony, I was browsing through Reddit and I saw this this stream, which was posted by Acer asked the question. So Acer, because
I'm reading it now.
Yeah. Now that Chromebooks have been on the market for over a decade, do you think they have changed the computing world for the better? And so what I did is I kind of rephrased it in my mind as like, has it changed the education world for the better? And I think it's fantastic. I know there are some definite flaws here with Chromebooks, but overall, I think it is... they're low cost. They're easy to repair. They're quick to repair. You can get parts for them, and as long as your students are using Google, it will do everything. It offers them all the tools they need to do to complete their work. Almost all the tools. So they have definitely kicked the crap out of Apple. In the education market, they've
actually forced Apple to have like if we buy like MacBook Airs and Fives, we get a very low price now, like $700, not $700, but in the $700 to $800 range. And I believe Chromebooks forced Apple below $1,000 for a laptop because for a few years there. Mm. Like, I couldn't buy the educational priced laptops really anymore. It was basically the same price that the retail people were paying.
Yep.
And so now, I guess I could have if I was buying like 1,000, but in the ordering like 20 or 30 a year, I wasn't really getting anything. It was, the better deal was to go to like the refurbished store and buy as many as you could. But I think Chromebooks really put pressure on Apple to get that laptop price down by about $300.
Yeah, and I think that they are also responsible for driving the iPad price down to $300.
No, I'm still a little and because the iPad I think is your kind of closest competitor really to the Chromebook.
Yeah.
But I spec'd out last year. I was like, I spec'd out the iPad Pro with the keyboard, the pen,
and the cool stand,
and it was like a grand.
It's well over a grand. It's more expensive than a
MacBook Air.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a little surprising. Like that whole setup, Apple should really be selling that. They need to sell that at like $500. Just, you know, and you want to pay more, you should pay more for having a SIM card or having more storage.
Yeah.
But everything else should just cap. You should be able to get like a 128 iPad Pro, biggest screen they have with all the bells and whistles for $500.
Yeah.
That would really just rock the education world. But it doesn't look like they're going that way.
No.
In fact, no. According to one podcast I listened to, it looks like the iPhone, this is just rumor, but it's a pretty solid source. The iPhone and possibly the iPad are going to be subscription only.
I saw this on, they were talking about this on MacRumors.com last week,
yeah,
that it was going to be a subscription, almost like,
you don't own the hardware.
You don't own it. Yeah. And then like every 2 years or whatever, you mail it back to them and they mail you the new one. And there might be a slight bump in your monthly payment. I understand some people financially, you know, if you really want an iPhone, and you don't want the SE because there's nothing exciting about that phone. You want like an actual iPhone, like they're $800 and you may not be able to write a check for $800 or, and so you put it on a payment plan. And then, I heard about this. I heard they were going to do it with computers too. Not just with
I don't know. It's a little shocking. And they might. Like, you're right. I mean, I think there's always going to be schools that are like Apple schools. But unless there's a big change, I think in terms of volume purchasing, like at the district school level, they've just been beaten out badly by Chromebooks.
Chromebook and Windows computers, too. Because you can get a very good Windows computer for quite a bit less money, you know, from Dell or HP, like some of their, like you were talking earlier in an earlier podcast, like Dell's like a business line, like a moderately spec'd Dell Latitude, like that's going to come in $700 and, will probably be more than enough for any teacher.
Last year we were able to get, from HP, an order. I think we did like an order of 40 units, Windows 10 Professional, 8 gigs of RAM for student use, and they came in at like $375 each.
Wow, gosh.
Yeah. Man. I mean, they're not they're not big gaming machines or anything, but it's Windows 10 Pro with 8 gigs of RAM. You can run everything that you need to run easily at school. And all your entertainment, really. You just can't play big video games.
Yeah, and Windows 10 Pro allows you to have it talk with Active Directory, so you can put permissions on there. And, that's great. Man, that's fantastic.
So, yeah, there's a lot of good buys out there. Like, when you're dealing with distributors, too, and you're buying Windows, like, they've got a lot of options.
Yes, they do. And it kind
like
of
with Dell,
go ahead.
Like if I go on my like Dell, like we have a business portal with Dell and I go on, if I can't find what I'm looking for, like in a certain price range, I just email my Dell rep and I'm like, I need a laptop for business and it needs to be this price or lower. That's all I do. And then he'll email me back like five options.
Yeah. Our business manager at our school, our CFO, he likes using a Windows computer and prefers it. And so we got him a Dell XPS 13 and we wanted to keep it. It was exactly what you said. Like we wanted to keep it within this certain range and they're like, oh gosh, yeah, we can put this screen on it. So it's not a 4K, it's not an OLED screen, but it's still, you know, 1080p. So it's HD. Do you want touchscreen or not touchscreen? No touchscreen. Oh, okay. Well, that's going to drop the price a little bit more. And they were able just to dial it in with such precision. And I was kind of taken aback. I didn't know that companies did that anymore. I thought that there was like, this is our 13 inch laptop for business. Here you go.
I think they've gotten better at it.
Yeah.
It seems.
Yeah.
You're right. There was a gap for quite, like, I think we were just talking, this is kind of what I'm talking about with the Chromebooks. The Chromebooks seem to have put pressure on Apple to make a sub $1,000 laptop for schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have put some pressure on Dell and other companies to be able to offer like customized features that are not much more than buying a Chromebook.
Yes. So, yes.
So if anything, the Chromebook has changed the overall landscape, you know, within the market.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about your Mac, your Apple thing where they're going, the device is going to be a subscription. Sure they're also going to offer like, oh, you have $1,000 and you want to buy a MacBook Air. Okay. We're going to sell you a MacBook Air. But I wonder, because there's also been rumors out there that Windows 11, that Windows is going to just virtualize everything. In your computer, it's just going to be a thin client.
And that would solve, this is going to go into another topic in a minute, that would solve a lot of the malware, ransomware issues with Windows.
Yep.
Because you would just obliterate it and start up a new service that would be clean.
That's right. And your data and everything would be redundantly backed up and on multiple servers.
You would have
servers.
To go out of your way to wreck the backup.
Yeah.
You would have to do it intentionally, which some people do. They are so paranoid about their personal privacy that they would let everything get set up and then retroactively corrupt or destroy the backup so it didn't represent what they needed. And there are people who do that, but the average person would not. They would simply be able to, refresh their machine. Mm-hmm. But the main issue with Windows and Microsoft in general is their documentation for the consumer for all this is garbage. It's so bad. I had a BitLocker issue on a machine.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And I'll tell you right now, and it was a Surface, everything on Microsoft's website was wrong. Everything. How to fix it, what we needed to do. It was wrong. Like when I don't just mean a little wrong, Patrick. I mean all the instructions across the board were wrong. And if you looked at the help forums, they were even worse. Whoever's doing help for Microsoft, it's all fake. Like I've always said that. The open stuff. I don't mean the paid support that you get, like the business stuff. I just mean the public stuff. It's literally just them asking you like questions over and over and never giving you any answers.
Yeah.
So this is the main issue that I run into when we get into like thinking about Windows. It's like a lot of really good ideas and functionality, but you have to be okay with, kind of managing it on your own. But consumers, like, they're not going to understand. The problem is they're not going to really understand, virtualized Windows. So it's possible Microsoft won't even explain it. They'll just drop the price and people will buy it.
Yeah. Now you get this crazy powerful, you can have a crazy powerful computer when you need it because you can just pay for that month. I need a really powerful computer this month. Boom. I'm just going to pay for it. I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. I think the next 10 years are going to be pretty wild.
I've thought for front of house people for a long time. So I say when I mean front of house, I mean anyone who's working in a reception area where the public goes from the public space into the workspace. So this is your like main risk area for social engineering attacks, over the shoulder password capturing, basically people just going in trying to scam or getting past security. So these are your front of house people. If they're on thin clients instead of actual machines, you have much better security. You can keep them updated every day, or you can just start them new every day. And then when they log in, they get their documents on a separate system that loads in from their cloud. So basically, if somebody gets in to the front of house, which can happen, like cleaning crews, like people who are running scams will often try to get on cleaning crews and stuff. And I know this is my CISSP paranoia, but these are the examples that they give, like cases that they studied. They get on cleaning crews like our friend Charlie Sheen in the original Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's how he did it, ladies and gentlemen. Partially bought into a cleaning company so he could make the schedule, and then he would go in at night and break into offices and stuff and steal intellectual property.
Yep.
So this gets eliminated if every day at like 6 a.m. before any business is conducted, the machine is anew. Like, it's just a new virtualized instance.
Yeah.
So I've always thought thin clients were the way to go. They were on their way. I'll make this argument forever. Sun Microsystems had it down in like 2006.
I was going to say, I remember you telling
the
me.
Thin client, I tested it out when I was in Dubai. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. This is a great idea. Then Oracle buys them, disappears.
Yeah.
So, and they had it like the whole Sun, the entire Sun Microsystems building in Dubai, every floor used the same concept. They had a smart ID card that you used to get in and out of the building, in and out of doors. And when you sat down, everybody had these thin clients, unless you were working on one of the big Sun workstations to build something. If you're just a normal person, like in accounting or whatever, you sat down and the same ID, you stuck it in the thin client, it logged you in. And you were logged in until you pulled it out to leave. And you couldn't forget it because you couldn't leave without it.
Yep. Yep.
Like, it was really simple. And it was I was talking to the people who work there, and they're like, you know, this is my desk, but if I want to go work at another desk, I can.
Yeah.
I just go over there and pop my card in. And I'm like, this is amazing.
And you don't need you don't need a $1,000 machine to do that. You could.
No.
And you can do it from anywhere too. Like, it can, on any machine, like, you could just log in. It makes a lot of sense.
I'm gonna see if I can find a photo. This is like one of the themes of my life is me getting mad at really good technology that was created decades ago that gets like mothballed.
Oh man, yeah. And send me that, put the photo in chat, and that can be our thumbnail for that can be our artwork.
I don't know. Will people understand?
It doesn't matter. I'll call it mothballs, and people will just want to listen. Mothballs? What? Technology and mothballs? I gotta hear this.
There's just so many views. Hold on. I'm trying to find a good one, Patrick. Because there's two versions. There's one that's an all-in-one with a screen, and one that is like a little computer that you can plug into an existing screen. So I'm getting it all. All right, here we go. I'm posting this to Patrick now.
Perfect.
So maybe he can incorporate it.
Boom. There it is. There it is here. Let me
See, doesn't it look sweet? Both of them look sweet.
Oh man, Skype is the worst. God, why can't, where did my where does my chat
oh,
option
hold on.
At? It's
I gotta,
the worst.
I have to hit Do I have to hit a send button?
No, I got it. I got it. It's there.
Oh, okay.
I'm just trying to where did my chat go? Like it's like
bottom left.
That's where I thought. Oh, there it is. Okay, got it.
There it is.
Oh man.
There, you're on.
Man, yeah.
I know it's 4:3. It wasn't.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right.
It's pre 1080p, but
nah, it works. That works. So Tony, here is our next topic.
Great success. Wow, wow, wow. Is that very nice?
Sound? Oh, did you not hear it? Did you not hear it?
No.
Let me see.
What was it? I didn't hear it.
Wow, wow, wow. Is that very nice?
I'm still not hearing it.
Oh,
are you playing?
Oh, man, it is. It's coming through on the Zoom, so it's definitely getting...
It's fine.
I found a Borat soundboard. So I'm just playing. I'm playing Borat. You know, you can't hear him.
Or what sound is? What's he say?
King in the castle. Nice. King in the castle.
He's saying.
I have a chair.
Oh my gosh, it's a long one.
Go do this. King in the castle.
Okay, it's like it's a very nice, great success.
I'll listen to it when you publish the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. It's around the 30.
It'll be a
mark.
Surprise.
Yeah.
All right. It'll so this week, you know, I'm doing. Every Sunday, I kind of scan through and see if there's any security issues coming up. And There is a new remote access malware product called Borat, and remote administration tool. So it's called Borat Rat, R-A-T, remote administration tool.
And it is a good
people
name.
People who made it have gone out of their way. It's Borat themed. It's got a picture of it loads. It is very, very well developed. It's got a lot of functionality. Let's just read some of the stuff that it can.
This is very frightening. This is very frightening.
Let's just read some of the stuff it can do once it's installed.
Go for it.
Turn your monitor on and off. Yeah. Open and close your CD. Show, hide the taskbar, start buttons. Basically, it can control your entire user interface. It has a registry editor for Windows. It can manage your Wi-Fi. It can open up the Windows terminal, task manager, startup manager. It can give you, it's not just full control. It's got shortcuts built in. So like if you want to do something quickly, like format all drives, there's a button for that. So anyway, it's just fully featured. Like some people got together and really, really got into it. There's also a keylogger. There is a webcam recording software and an audio recording software. And when all those are working, what happens is like when these stealth recording softwares kick on, the first thing they do is they disable your indicators. So you don't know your camera's on.
Yeah, they turn off the low lights.
For audio recording, usually the way these work is they don't mess with your sound settings. They install another software soundboard. And they just mix. So they're mixing an output to another location that you're not aware of.
Yeah.
So it doesn't interfere with your settings. Your settings would stay the same. Yeah. So, it's pretty frightening. So I'm going to see how popular it gets. And I'm going to be doubling down on updating all of our malware this week to make sure for our Windows clients, just to make sure that they're taken care of.
Yeah.
And it's got some token hijacking built in. So Discord, I believe, is a popular technology or website or whatever for doing chatting and commenting. Is that right, Patrick?
So it's my understanding is Discord is real big with gamers. So gamers will have their own Discord server where they can it's like they have their own community and they can control and moderate their stuff. So they're not reliant on Twitch or YouTube. They're in control and they can have files in there and share files and all this other good stuff. And it's also, I guess Discord is also a good place for programmers too, for people who like can use it almost like GitHub. I think, you know, they can put up projects and stuff and people can collaborate with it. And so
this allows you, for anyone who has a Discord account, especially if they've installed any kind of, like you said, if they're working with any kind of repository or anything, this allows the software to become you and use your account.
Yeah.
And it's built in. It's specifically built in for Discord. And then it's got a very specific feature for grabbing credentials that are saved in Chrome and Chromium.
Wow.
Oh, so it's
all those people who save their password to Chrome OS or Chrome, not Chrome OS, but just Chrome or Edge, because that's Chromium. Yeah. That's built on Chromium.
That's
as
true.
Well.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So it's a big one. So
man, this thing is
the Borat.
It's gonna be awesome. I blame Putin for it. I mean, it's clearly his fault.
Come on. Are you trying to say that the people of Kazakhstan could not develop the Borat Rat? Come on, Patrick.
They could probably do it, yeah.
But why would they?
Why would
this
they indeed?
Probably a teenager from Wales or someplace in the UK where they're bored and cold and there's no sunlight.
And they're, and they're tired of boiled food. I'm sorry for people out there in the UK who are listening to our show. I mean, I know that's a terrible stereotype, but And there may be some truth to it. There may be some truth to it.
Hey, I was in London, and I don't know anything about London, and I was wandering around, and I did find a pulled pork restaurant. So that is my claim to fame.
Hey, there you go. Pulled pork is delicious. Yeah.
They had pulled pork and beer pong.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I was like, what's going on here?
Man,
did you go to Florida State?
University of Miami? Maybe. Just maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. And so, keeping with the malware theme here, I put a topic in, and the topic is called insurance is going to kick your ass if you don't get compliant. First off, Patrick, let me ask you, does that feel like a good book title?
It does. It sounds like a really good book title. And not and even just but a tour too. Like, hey, I'm going to this tour, this guy, Tony DePreto. It's talking about security compliance.
Yeah. So, and the next question is, if there were a book out there that helped you lower your business's insurance cost by, you know, thousands of dollars, and that book only cost you $15, would you buy it, Patrick? Or
yes.
Would you be like, you know what, I'm just going to wait till I can steal this off of a torrent site?
Or, Tony, I got you one better. What if there was a series of workshops that you could attend to be certified? And the workshops cost you $500, but you would save on average $2,000 on your business insurance.
That would be good, but then somebody would have to lead those workshops and answer really annoying questions. All right, so this is why I say that. Okay, so first off, this last week, I had to fill out paperwork for my school, normal paperwork, and it was for our business insurance, our liability insurance, all of that. So 2020, I did this paperwork. It was half a page. Last year, it was two pages front and back. This year, it was about four pages. And since I did the initial one,
man,
the insurance company has sent two additional documents to complete.
I think part of this is, in America, it's law. It's federal law. If you have a data breach, you must report it to the authorities. You can't deal with it internally and cover it up, and you have to disclose it to the United States government. And I think this is part of it. I think this is just the insurance companies being quote unquote compliant, because I imagine businesses would inform their insurance companies, who would maybe then inform the government. That's my guess.
Yep. And there's been some high profile ransomware issues lately. And a lot of them have very similar things in common, like what caused it, and employees simple steps, they could
prevent the password.
It.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of simple things that lead to these massive breaches. Was it like 2 years ago, the state of Louisiana's education backbone
got hacked. That's right.
With ransomware, captured with ransomware. I actually spoke to a guy who worked on the recovery, and he was like, schools and school districts who had done, you know, A, B, and C, we were able to get them back up and running in a week, and they didn't lose anything. Schools that left out one of those steps, A, B, or C, they never got their data back.
Wow.
That's what he told me.
Man.
Now, do I know that to be 100% true? Someone will be like, I'm in Louisiana, we got all our data. I don't know. Okay. Here's the best part. No one is actually going to tell you if they got their data back or not, because this is the biggest problem in security. People do everything they can to not disclose the breadth and depth of the damage.
Yes.
They try to hide it to maintain confidence. 2009, 2010, I think. No, 2008. I'm on a flight from Portland going to Cincinnati. I was in Portland doing training at one of our favorite companies, Atlas Rubicon.
Where are the tags?
I sat next to this guy who had just attended a big Linux conference, and he worked for E-Trade. I don't know if they're still around. E-Trade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I've seen.
So online stock trading. They were one of the earliest
day traders. Oh, yes. They are definitely still
around. And I had a Linux laptop, and he was just like, "Whoa! I've never even sat next to anybody else with a Linux laptop." So we started talking, and he was just telling me about all the data breaches that he had.
Oh my god!
He's like, "Yeah, last year we lost like $11 million to data breaches." And I was like, what? And he's like, he explained how it works. They get a breach. They cover the losses. They didn't tell anybody if they didn't have to.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So like if Patrick was on E-Trade and his account got hacked and whatever, they would just put everything back and give Patrick his money back. And they don't even fight about it. And they were doing that instead of, reporting it because they didn't want anyone to lose confidence in the platform. So my point is that there is a lot of bad stuff happening out there, and you're going to hear about the initial, but you're not actually going to hear about the result.
Mm.
And so these insurance companies are 100% aware of the result and how much they're paying out. So they're getting more strict on what you have to do. And they're starting to push schools to be compliant, like for-profit businesses. And there's a lot of things that you can do that are basically free that can help you structure yourself so that those premiums go down or stay the same. And then if you want to spend a little extra money, if it's worth it, like if you're like, look, I can spend $10,000 every year and it'll drop my premium by $1,000, that's not worth it. Okay. But if you can spend like $10,000 once and it will consistently keep your premiums down, you know, for the next decade, you're going to break even. It's probably worth it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And plus doing it protects your data. So there's those other benefits. So yeah, I was reading through all these questions and then, so here, and I'll wrap this up. I'm in this like group of people, you know, that work at schools talking about IT and security. And people will ask questions about security, and then you'll send them an answer, like an informed answer, like, oh, here are the steps you can take to make your network more secure.
Yep. Yep.
Almost everyone says, oh, we don't have to do that. And they give you all these excuses. And I'm like, wait a second. You just said you're worried about Wi-Fi security. I just explained the changes you needed to make. And most of them you can make for free. You just need to make them. And then you push back and said, oh, but, you know, we just don't really need to do it. So this is like something I think is strange, and I'm noticing a lot where people are like, oh, yeah, we're compliant. And I'm walking around every day like, man, I'm just worried. Like, I want to be more compliant. I want to do a lot of stuff. I talked to the business manager about different strategies and looking at different ways to, like, make sure we're secure, keep these premiums down, and not necessarily, you know, inflate our budget to the point where we can't, you know, afford it, because that doesn't make sense. So I feel like I'm kind of an open book with it. And then other people are just kind of pushing back. So my question is, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you know secretly in your heart of hearts that your school is basically a target and you just can't admit it, would you at least spend $15 to help yourself? So that's it. That's what I'm thinking, Patrick. Just need to put all the ideas together. And just say $15, read it. Don't even tell anyone you bought it. You know, just buy it under the table. I'll sell it to you in Bitcoin, and then done. And then you can just use it, and people will just think they're your ideas. And I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, I like it. That's $15. That's worth it. That's definitely worth it for sure.
$15.
$15. Well spent. Yes.
And yes. If you disagree with it all, it'll just be entertaining.
That's right. That's right, $15. I mean, it's going to cost you $15 just to go to the movies. Well, close That's to right. it, close to it, pretty close.
You just skip one movie, and you're done.
And you're done. You got it, and it'll save you money, or at least your school money, and maybe even save you your job. Who knows? Who knows, folks?
Maybe I'll see if I can package. Yeah, I'll reach out, maybe see if you buy a book, if you can get a free DVD of American Ninja with Michael Dudikoff.
I like it. That might be our That might be American Dude. That might be our artwork for the show.
American Ninja, Michael Dudikoff.
Man.
If you haven't seen American Ninja, at least go to YouTube and watch the highlights.
It's, you know, for the time, it was pretty, entertaining. It was even for the, it was like a B movie even for the time, but still.
I don't even think it's aged.
it's, you know, people are like, is that Bruce Lee? Oh no, is it Michael Dudikoff? I can't tell between his blue eyes and blonde hair.
Do you think there was ever a conversation with his agent? It was like, look, Michael, you're a young guy. Ninjas are really popular. We don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
You got all the looks, but could we come up with a stage name? And he was like, no, I want to make the Dudikoff last name special. I want everyone to know it.
Forever. I want it to be forever. Let's see here.
And, you know, no one can spell Dudikoff, and that's the problem.
Oh, this is true. I misspelled it when I was searching for it here. And you know what? He's a handsome fella. I'm just gonna go out there and say it.
Yeah, no, he had it all, and he was like there, right in the he was perfectly positioned in the ninja genre, which was huge for a while.
Yes,
huge.
Yes.
So he could have been up there with like Norris, but. Yeah, Chuck Norris. People can spell Chuck Norris, Patrick.
They sure can.
Say it. Spell it.
They sure can.
Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Lee's name wasn't Bruce. He was just like...
No, it was definitely... No.
People can spell Bruce. I mean, Bruce Lee.
Yeah, Bruce. One syllable. Michael. Not Mike Dudikoff. Just...
Yeah, I think he just... You know, he went with the anomaly. He was like, well, people know Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger's actually a little easier to spell...
than Dudikoff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, we're probably starting to trail off too far.
Yeah. Maybe time
to rabbit hole.
Time to wrap it up here. Time to wrap it all up. Anyway, for IT Babble, I am Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And we will catch you on the next episode. Check out our blog at www.itbabble.com. I promise there will be an article within a month up there. But of course, all our podcasts are up there too. And you can find them on your favorite podcasting app. So please subscribe. We'll catch you on the next episode. Keep on babbling.